This morning we're going to be looking at the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at the topic Jesus, our King. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for this time we worship you. Lord, we ask that the scripture says the entrance of your word gives light, understanding to the simple. Let everyone here be blessed by your word. Speak to us in our different situations, and let there be a building up, let there be an encouraging, let there be life in Jesus' name. Amen. Today also is Palm Sunday, and I can't see any palms around. I hope the palm is not one of the protected species. In my own part of town, we just caught one like that. Because we have a lot of them like that, and the palms that are not decorative, the ones that actually produces kernels, and we use them for a number of things, palm oil. We have several things that we use them for. Actually, some years back, the palm is seen like the miracle plant, because virtually every aspect of the palm is useful. The outside of the seed is where you have the palm oil. The kernel itself has use. The seed inside the kernel has use. The back of the plant has use. The palm itself has use. There are a number of uses for the palm. And it was a major foreign exchange for some people some 50 years ago. Like that. It's still for some other people. So the palm is quite significant. But that was just by way of introduction. So why would a very great king announce its own coming with palms? A question, why would he announce his coming with palms? I saw something at Aunt Cherry's place when we went there on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? She said, it's not really... Of course, I saw the quote in a film before, some years back. It says, it's not really the amount of breaths you take, but the number of moments that take your breath away. Like, I can repeat that. It's not really the number of breaths you take, but the moments that take your breath away. So one of those moments that take my breath away is when I see parade, royal parade. When I see the crowning of the king, King Charles, the 70th platinum celebration of the coin, that arrangement, the dexterity of display of order, and all that arrangement. And sometimes I feel goose pimples when I'm just sitting and I see sometimes the presidential fleet drive past. I don't know. It's not that I want to be a president. It's just it does something to me as a person. So those are one of the moments that take my breath away when I see the arrangement and the display. So one of the ways in which we rate royalty is that display of splendor around them, is the entourage, the arrangements that shows that they have come to a place. That's one of the ways in which we rate royalties. So you want to, they can say, okay, we accept the communist places, but in normal, even in communist places, it's like all of us are equal. But somebody now became more equal than all of us. Yeah. So, but in this place, the arrangement of the royalty is one of the ways that shows how powerful the royalty is, shows how big the royalty is. So, if we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21 from verse 1 to 11, a man that has been living with people for 33 years wanted to show his royalty, and he decided that it will be shown in a particular way. Matthew chapter 1, chapter 21 from verse 1 to 11. Matthew 21 from verse 1 to 11. If my dear friend and brother Chris will be magnanimous to put one slide on the scripture on the air, we wouldn't mind. Okay, just the first verse 21. Matthew 21 from verse 1 to 11, but I will start from 1. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will see a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and a colt and the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit. A very large crowd spread their cloak on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." That was a big moment for Jesus. All the while, Jesus has been this quiet guy. When he does something, he tells people, "Don't tell anybody about it." When he heals somebody, he says, "You know what? Go to the temple, show yourself to the priest, and just give glory to God." Every other thing before now, Jesus said, "Shh, don't tell anybody." But on this occasion, it was time for him to be known, not just as that quiet, gentle guy but now it's time for announcement. What can we learn from this simple story that we saw? What can we learn from it in today? How does this apply to us? The first thing I want to say is that this is not the first time Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Who agrees with me? This is not the first time. Can somebody try to remember? Yes, you see some people know scriptures. Yeah. Okay? She said, at age 12, he followed his parents to the temple. And when it was time to go back, they were looking for him. They couldn't find him. And Jesus, the mother, they had they had to come back looking through the crowds and everybody. When they were going to see him, they saw him in the temple talking with the supposed doctors of the law. And they said, "Don't you know we've been looking for you?" He said, I'm in my father's house. This is my father's house. Really? It's okay. But that was the first record in which we see in the scripture. It was a 12-year-old, seemingly matured, growing guy. But on this occasion, Jesus came in to town, and it was not going to be a quiet, gentle coming. The first thing I want to say is that there are things that has been written concerning us, each and every one of us. That verse 4, says 5. 4 and 5 says, "This Jesus did, so that it will be fulfilled what was in the said by the prophet, 'O Zion, your king comes.'" So I want to say to each and every one of us here today, it's not just only Jesus that prophecies are said concerning. There are prophecies concerning each and every of our lives. So what is prophecy? Prophecy is what God intends to happen in our lives. So it's not just special prophets that prophecies are about. It is what God intends when he created you. What God, the path God wants you to take. But because God is a God of all goodness, he created many things. He created things, some things without will, but he gave human beings will. So a man can be born, start growing, and consistently choose against God. And it's okay. God, the scripture says, God makes it to rain on the good and the evil, on the bad. It's okay. God, it rains. The Son of God shines over everyone. But it is just good that we know that it is not only Jesus that things were written concerning. There are things that have been written concerning each and every one of us. Somebody will say, "Where?" You said? Where? Good question. These things had been written in time. Jesus' own were written in the books of prophecy, in the Bible, in books, or in scrolls. Yours were written in time. What God had ordained that each and every one of us should do. The scripture says, we are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, that we should do the good works that God has ordained that we should walk into them. So ours, yours, you may not see a place where they wrote Bukumi in 2020, this was going to happen. You may not see it in these scriptures. But I want you to know that there are things also that has been written concerning you. So what does this mean? It means there are the thoughts of God. The scripture says, "I've got thoughts for you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil." We can discover it. We can discover some of them in the scriptures. It is not only Jesus that the things that are written in the scripture are for. Actually, some of them did not have the label Jesus. The other time James was preaching, he read from the book of Luke where Jesus got to the temple and they gave him a scroll. they did not write Jesus' name on that scroll. They gave him a scroll of a prophecy made 400 years ago. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has this to deliverance to the poor, captives, to open the prison doors and to do this. And he looked at them and said, "Today, this scripture that had been written for 450 years is fulfilled in your eyes." What was written 450 years ago? It was written concerning me. The same way, we can take the scriptures in our private moment that we are reading, and the Holy Spirit makes you know that this passage of the scripture you are reading was written concerning you. So, Jesus on this day was fulfilling this portion of the scripture that had been prophesied. And where was that prophecy? That prophecy was in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It was already in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And that prophecy was that, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." This time in Israel was the time in which there was the Roman occupation. And there is a way in which royalty was displayed at this time. At this time, if Jesus wanted to really show his power, he should have come in chariots, not on a donkey. But the scripture says, there was an opening statement. "Your king comes to you lowly and gentle." This king is not going to be the one that will put you to work in service and say, "I don't care how you feel, just pay. Whether you like it or not, constrict your sons to the military and say you've got to fight." No, this is not the kind of king that he was going to be. Obviously, the Jews wanted him to be a political leader. They wanted a king that will come and cause a political liberation to the people of the time. But the scripture says it was a different kind of king. It was a king that is lowly, that is gentle, that we can touch. Sometimes the people that are in royalty in our normal human, in our day-to-day living, whether as political leaders or different kinds of leaders, we can't touch them. Our day-to-day life, their lives are separated from the life of the people they lead. Some live in stupendous wealth and stupendous some for the next 20 generations they can be poor. Wealth, they've got wealth stored up. But Jesus, when he was going to show us his kingship on this side of eternity, he came in a way that it could be touched. He came in such a way that it demonstrates lowliness. Wow, I would have loved it to be that at the showing of Jesus to people, that who wouldn't have loved that? That 50 angels just showed up. Those mighty things that we show that, yeah, this is the guy. This is the savior of the whole world. And people were seeing visions. their eyes were open. They can see heaven. They see angels going and coming and all that. The fanfare. All of us, we just accept Jesus, the Son of God. But he chose to come to us lowly, gentle, and meek. And what else can we learn from this story of how Jesus' kingship was demonstrated to us? Apart from the fact that he wanted this is coming to be unique, and that it was fulfillment of prophecy, it wasn't just the only one. This is coming was corroborated by people that should ordinarily not have any business with it. The little children, the young ones, they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And if we read the scripture down, some guys there were like, "Can't you see what these children are saying? They are calling you king. They are shouting, Hosanna. They are saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." He looked at them and said, "If these ones don't praise me, haven't you seen that it is said that in the mouth of kids, God has perfected praise? In the mouth of children, in the mouth of the young ones, God has ordained praise. In this kingdom, it's not a kingdom of adults alone. It's a kingdom of everyone." Usually, when you go to the palaces, when you go to parliament, when you go to presidential palaces, where you go, you don't see kids, you don't see children, you don't see your kid. We're talking about serious business here, serious stately issues. But in Jesus' kingdom, and we also saw it all throughout his earthly ministry, when he was here, the disciples felt, "We are talking serious business here. Children should be kept away." They said, no, don't take the children away. Bring them here. Because there are so many things that in the kingdom of God can be related to the way these little children are. Because when you tell a child, "This is white," he accepts it, that is white. But if you tell an adult, "This is white," you will need to show him that it is not a shade of white. The adults will tell you that if you say this is white light, if I put a prism there, it is going to split into different kinds of spectrum. I will have red, indigo, violet, blue, this, that. This white is not white. Adults have a way of complicating a small, simple thing. Adults have that. So Jesus also, we saw that his kingship was corroborated by this crowd of young people that were singing and shouting and saying, "Yes, Hosanna to the highest." At the end, by the time we get to verse 12, 13, we see Jesus enter the temple. And when he got there, the Bible says he saw people with merchandise. He saw people selling things and doing things that should not be done in the temple. The scripture says he overturned their temple, their tables, and chased them away. So one of the things that happened when Jesus' kingship is expressed, he restores the order of things. I don't know if you are here today and you want some things changed. You want things, you know, this is not the right order of things. Maybe something is happening with you, happening in your health, happening to someone. And you know, no, this is not the right order of things. When we celebrate Jesus' kingship, he restores the order of things. He said, "No, my house shall be called the house of prayer." and you have turned it to den of thieves. And he turned over things and caused there to be a change. So, what do these kids, what do they say? They said, Hosanna, son of David. Jesus' kingship ties to history of kings. They established that he wasn't just a spurious person that showed up in history without connection to what God is doing. I also want to say, whether you're a new Christian, or you consider yourself a matured Christian, or you consider yourself, what God is doing in your life is connected. Is connected. There is a plan. There is a program that God is working at. There's something God is at. Whether you seem to know it or not, when these chaps were going to talk, they said, Hosanna to the son of David. What does that mean? They connected what is happening to what happened 2,000 years before then. What we are seeing today, this guy we are celebrating is in the lineage of kings. Not only that, they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What was happening then? They connected it to divinity. What is happening here today? They connected to bless the seed that came in the name of the Lord. The scripture says, no man takes this honor to himself except him that is called. Nobody chooses himself. But he that is called, this man is coming in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And the last phrase they were shouting, Hosanna in the highest heaven. What we are doing today, we are not just only connecting it to what has happened in the past. We are not just connecting it to God. We are also connecting it to something that will happen in the future. In the highest heaven. What is happening now is not disjointed. It's something. You may not understand it. You may not see it all come together. But it's all part of what is happening in destiny. Next Sunday, somebody will come and say, come also and talk about another part of this destiny being fulfilled. Which is Jesus being killed. Someone will say, what? Last week we're celebrating him as king, and yet he's got to die. So it is. So that we can stand where we are today. One other thing I saw in that story that is called Triumphant Entry is that after the disciples did what Jesus told them to do and they brought the donkeys to him, they put their cloaks on the donkey first. I've told you Jesus is king. We connected his kingship to history, to God, and to the future. But when those guys brought the donkeys, they took their cloaks, they took their jackets, and put it on the donkey for him to sit. What does that mean? They crowned him king in their lives first. Then others crowned him as king. Are you crowning Jesus as king in your life? Am I crowning Jesus as king in my life? How am I crowning him as king? They removed their cloak, probably their expensive jackets. That day they didn't know. They just came out every other day. So they removed their jackets and they put on him. So the people, the other ones, now saw that, ooh, some guys have crowned him. Then the others started putting their clothes on the floor, started putting the palms on the floor, and demonstrated the kingship. In the next few minutes, I will talk about the benefits of being in this kingdom. The benefits of being in this kingdom. But are you crowning him as king in your own life? In conclusion, being a king means we belong to a kingdom. The scripture says this kingdom is not built with human hands. It's not political. It's not a military kingdom. So we don't go about establishing it with cutlasses, arrows, bow, guns. No, that is not how this kingdom expands. But this kingdom has authority. One day Jesus sent out his disciples and they came back. They said, wow, demons were subject to us. When we laid our hands on the sick, they recovered. Whatever we did, you supported it. It happened. Jesus said, be glad that your names are written in the book of life. Don't just be excited that demons are subject to you. So in this kingdom, there is authority, there is order, there are benefits, and part of that benefit is that we are kings. Part of this benefit is that each and every one of us will become kings as our name is. We become kings in this kingdom. In the normal kingdom, a king has subjects, so they are servants, subjects. He is king. But in Jesus' kingdom, we are kings as he is king also. So in closing, I would like to say the disciples removed their cloaks and put on Jesus to show his kingship in their lives. Prophecy was being fulfilled. Even if you don't know today the prophecies that has been written concerning you, I'm saying to you today, there are things that has been written concerning you. You will find some in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit will reveal some to you. Some things you do, and you will know that this is one of the things I was born to do. One old woman, wanted to enter into a car, and she's got a big load to carry. So I said, oh, excuse me, I'll do it for you. So I helped her to carry the load into the car, and she was like, she turned back, and she said, may God bless you. But the way she said it, my name, the way my name is written is, may God bless you. That is Oluwa Bukunmi. So the woman turned to me and said, Oluwa Bukunmi. So she called me my name in blessing, but she didn't know my name. That moment, something happened to me as if to say, yes, this is one of the reasons why you were born. So I want us to pray now and to talk to God. I want you to pray and talk to God and to say, Jesus, thank you for being king in my life. Thank you because of the kingdom that you've come to establish. Thank you because of those things that are written concerning me in prophecy. Thank you because of the benefits that have become mine. And thank you because I'm a king. You may not feel it. What's happening around your life may not seem, you may not feel anything kingly. But that is who he called you to be. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We bless you. On this Palm Sunday morning, where we are remembering your coming into Jerusalem and you made your kingship public, Father, all of us, we submit to the authority of your name. We submit to the authority of the kingship of Jesus. Because in doing so, we derive authority to say to the mountains, be removed, and they are removed. Lord, I pray, is there anyone here today? Is there anything that needs changing? We saw that when you went that day, you went straight into the temple and you restored the order of things. Lord, are there some things in our temple, in our physical bodies, that is not glorifying you? Father, I ask, I decree that there be a turnaround in the name of Jesus. Lord, I make a pronouncement that everything that is not subject to your counsel be brought under the authority of your name in our lives. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Thank you.